This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Today is Wednesday, January 21st, 2015, and I welcome you to Invest Talk. Okay, who said this? The only reason a great many American families don't own an elephant is that they have never been offered an elephant for a dollar down and easy weekly payments. Who wrote that? Who said that? Well, that's from the pages of Mad Magazine, by the way. But it illustrates something. You get sold things you don't need by easy terms. They convince you that it's great to have, first of all, but then they tease you with easy terms. And that's what happened in the housing bubble. Here, you want to buy this way bigger house than you need because it's a dollar down and easy weekly payments. So be very careful who's trying to sell you things. Okay, and talking about paying interest on loans, because we are going to be talking about that today on mortgage loans. And coming up on Invest Talk Personal, we have a feature there about reducing the interest rate on your mortgage. Now, Invest Talk is here as a source of information and encouragement. It's all about above average investing for the average investor. Now, today, the investing landscape is populated, it's a very populated space. No longer are your choices limited to doing business with your neighborhood broker, stockbroker, down the street, Joe, down the street, your friendly broker. No. Now, Joe, the average Joe investor, is online, calling his own shots, reading commentaries, analysts, and jumping in and out of the market, trying to do it himself, him or herself. Mutual funds help make it easier to diversify and let someone else make the tough choices. Then came ETFs, exchange-traded funds, which further, you know how many mutual funds there are? Like 20,000. You know how many ETFs there are? I really don't know, but it's starting to move into the thousands. So, you can buy an ETF on robotics. There is a RoboStock Global Robotics Automation Index. I mean, it's getting ridiculous. You can buy any sliver of any market anywhere. And I do like the choices personally. I think they're great. I like a lot of variety of choices for myself. But I think it's extremely confusing for the average person who has a life, trying to live his or her life, going to work every day, and then try to figure out this investing stuff. It's pretty difficult. That's the new world. It's just the new world. It's exciting. There's lots of things to look at, and you hear pundits pushing this or pushing that. But please be aware, it's easy to get distracted from the basics. Okay, you can't wander too far from the tried and true methods of earnings equals sales equals earnings equals the stock price going up. Dividends are a very important part of the overall value of your investment. It's simple. That's what it is. No matter what anybody else tries to sell you. Okay? I'm sorry if I got a little verbose on that. Let's get to the phone now. Get your voice in on the mix. Here's a call from our 24-hour listener line. 888-99-CHARGE is our number. It's ready to catch your question anytime.
I have a question about California Credit Union. I'm going to get $50,000. Could I just put that $50,000 in a credit union CD insured for now? Thank you. Bye.
Yes. The answer is yes. You can put the $50,000 in a credit union, and it's insured. They have their own FIDC. I forgot the name of it, but it's their own government-backed insurance for protection. So someone, if the credit union goes under. They act very similar to a bank. And credit unions generally pay a bit more on their CDs than savings banks. But yeah, you could do that. I mean, sure. Why not? Now, just remember, you won't get very much of a yield. It won't earn very much interest, but it'd be ultra safe. So yeah, you could do that. If that's what you want to do, go right ahead for it. Go for it. Okay, we're going to talk about today, investors practice loss aversion, selling when they see the stock markets collapse. This can contribute to the losses and lower returns. I have some interesting statistics for you about returns for individuals. Why indexers usually beat stock pickers. That's one of our talking points. But, you know, it's a really good article, but it ignores people's emotions. And that's where we come into play as to why indexers don't beat stock pickers. They can if you just buy the index and stay there. But it's been proven over and over and over, people don't do that. That's going to be one of our talking points today. Don't want to get too much into it. Also, someone called me up and asked, how can they make negative interest rates? How can the Fed or anybody else make interest rates negative? Well, that's going to be, we're going to talk about how that can happen. And to be perfectly honest, we already have negative interest rates on savings. On your savings account, what are you getting? On your money market account, what are you getting? 0.1%, 0.2%, somewhere in that range. And what is inflation? It's a very low 1.5%, 2%. So your real, quote unquote, real return is negative. Negative. But that's not what we're talking about when we talk about negative interest rates. We'll get into that. Did you see the QE announcement out of Europe today? We didn't get a lot of information, but we'll talk about it. China is buying iPhone Pluses more than iPhones. At least the usage of iPhone Pluses are higher than the usage of iPhones. And what does that mean for Apple? Housing starts are out today. Did you see that number? I'm going to talk about that. Those are some of the things we're going to talk about. Hopefully we can get to them all. I want to get to them all, but you just never know. Right now, let's take a quick look at the market. What happened to the market today? It was down most of the day, but kind of eked up a positive return at the end of the day. Dow was up 40, the NASDAQ up 13, and the S&P up 10. It's still down for the month. Okay, down for the month. And a year ago, I just talked yesterday, I mentioned that for the Russell 2000, the market is down, is flat from 1 year ago to today. No movement up. But, you know, that you can't say that for the other major, S&P 500, the Dow, the NASDAQ. But they are down several percentage points for the month. I don't see how that's a surprise. Remember last January, we were down 6%. So far this January, I think it's down, haven't done the math. It's probably around 3%, 3.5% down, something around that range. But remember, the market, you know, day-to-day movements are very meaningless. It's just giving you some data points that you can look at. You're really looking for the trend. The trend is still up. You look at a long-term trend of any chart, of any index, except for the Russell 2000. They're on the upswing. And October, remember, that was the 10% downstroke last year. We're going to have more of those. I don't know how many more, or if we're going to have more than one this year. Chances are very high we'll at least have one this year, at least. But, you know, never know. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. If you're looking for a money management solution, I invite you to take a look at our Dynamic Growth Program at KPP Financial, our Dynamic Growth Portfolio. It's an active management for optimum growth returns. It's more aggressive. We have others that are less aggressive as well. You can find more about it on our website at investtalk.com.
As an employer, I have two worries beyond delivering a product to my customers. I worry about providing my employees with a solid 401k plan. And now, the legal responsibility to get it right.
It's true that for employers, a breach of fiduciary responsibility may involve personal liability. As the requirements become more demanding, it's become a best practice to hire a plan professional.
The 401k solution from KPP Financial gives plan employers the highest level of fiduciary oversight and relieves them from the liability that goes with the selection and monitoring of investment choices.
KPP Financial makes it possible for employers to offer custom professional asset management for employee 401k accounts.
and it's tailored to each employee. This is great for them. And for me, it alleviates a lot of my ongoing administrative workload.
If you're an employer and want to know more about KPP Financial's 401k solution, just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Justin and type 401k. A file full of information will come back to you right away. And if you're an employee, do the same and share it with your employer.
The 401k solution solves a 401k problem for both employers and employees. Why do indexers beat the markets, beat stock pickers, beat advisors like myself? Why is that? Well, there's a number of reasons why the indexers will do that. But you notice that indexes will generally beat any managed account by any manager simply because you pay a fee for a manager. They also beat every index mutual fund, by the way. So, because every mutual fund has a fee. Every ETF, index ETF, has a fee. There's fees involved, so they can't beat the actual index because there's no fees involved there. You can't. Now, if you're going to index, I would, using mutual funds or ETFs, I might suggest Vanguard because they're the cheapest, and so they're the closest to the indexes. The problem we have, though, when you talk about people who index and people doing it themselves, is proven over and over and over and over that they don't beat the index, even though they're indexing. Why? Because they don't stick with it. They don't stay with it. When they see losses, huge losses, because the index can, it was what? S&P was down 45% in 2008, something like that, during that crash. And people sell at the bottom, and they buy near the tops. And it has been proven over and over. There's been studies. DelBar has put out a study called the Quantitative Analysis of Investor Behavior. And they did a 17-year study from December 2000 and found in that 17-year period to December 2000. So it's kind of old. But they found, and it's been true with the recent studies as well, that during that period, 17 years, the market returned 16.29%, while the typical indexer had a return of 5.32%, 9 percentage points less. Why? Because they sell at the top. They sell at the bottom and buy at the top. Even if you are a bond index, buying bonds, same thing is true. Fixed income investors earn 6% return per year, while the long-term government bond index over the same period came in at 11.83%. This is the problem. You got human emotions involved. Human emotions. So if you're going to tell me you're an indexer and you can put it in a drawer, shut it for 20 years or 30 years, not pay attention to it, yeah, that's a good way to invest. It will work. It will work. Now, mind you, it has to be very, very long term. For instance, since 2000 to today, we still, in the NASDAQ, has still not recovered from the 2000 high to today, 14 years later, going on 15. It still had not. But the Dow has really done well, so has S&P. Sticking with it as an indexer is what you do, but people can't do that. Emotionally, they're not built for that. It's very difficult to do that. Many people don't understand how the market works. They think they do. What they do is they get excited about it when market has really great returns over a year or 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and they think that's going to just continue on at infinitum, and it doesn't. Now, over long periods of time, the market on average will give you, 9% return, that 10% return, but that includes dividends over long periods of time. It's all true. And another reason why people can't wait is because, you can't invest for 20, 30 years. Many people are my age in their 60s now, baby boomers. We can't afford that big downstroke. So you're a bit more cautious, which you rightly should be. Interesting stuff. We want to hear your questions, everybody. The number is always the same, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. You can reach us right now with your money topic on Invest Talk.
What are value stocks? What makes them different than growth stocks? Or what's your question? Why not ask it right now? 888-99-CHART on InvestTalk. Our InvestTalk podcast distribution is made possible by KPP Financial, and we thank you for subscribing to our podcast. What sectors were hot today? Is this something you'd like to quiz Steve about? Why not send him a personal note with your investing or financial question? Just go to InvestTalk.com and click on Contact Steve, and he will answer you.
Now, don't forget, our listener line is open all the time. You can ask your question whenever you feel like it. 888-99-CHART. It's live right now, but it's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As long as you talk about it, call about a stock or a strategy or something financial, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve. This is Oscar calling in regards to Helmerich & Payne & Company, ticker symbol HP. Thinking about buying it. So let me know what you think about it. Thank you very much. Appreciate your show.
Probably a lot of people have never heard of Helmerich & Payne, but they're a big company. I mean, a huge $7 billion company, but they've been around a long time. Engaged in the contract drilling of oil and gas well, primarily in North and South America. Now, you know we're having on February 7th our conference on mainly oil and other commodities and what are the opportunities there. Helmerich & Payne. They're gonna make money. Okay, I don't want to be negative, but their earnings are gonna go down 25% in 2015, from 621 to 464, another 10% in 2016 to 416. So of course, when you look at the stock chart, you can see, oh gosh, this is falling down. Well, of course, like all oil stocks, right? The question is it falling enough? And the answer is probably. I mean, it fell from $115 a share back in August to about $60, and today it's at almost $64. And it's fallen to $60 in the last couple of months twice. It fell to $60, bounced to $69, fell back to $60, bounced now to $64, and it's on another upstroke. And this is a double bottom, which is pretty strong indication. That's about as far as it's going to go down, to about $60 a share. At $4.16, and the average PE of last 10 years, 8 to 22. The low will be about $35 a share. The high, probably about $85 a share. And it's at 64. So it's right in the range of where it's going to be. Good cash flow. Management owns 4%. Mutual funds have been buyers over the last year. I don't know what they've done the last month or two. Sales are, I like the stock. I think this is where you pick up a piece. Maybe not your whole position, but at least half of it. Helmerich & Payne, HP. Now, because really what you do is you back up and say, do I think oil prices are going to go lower? And they can. There's writers and pundits telling me that it could probably go as low as $40 a share. But how much of the stock's been beaten up? Have they been beaten up enough? Well, we've seen that $50 a share seems to be fairly about the stable market. What is it, $47, $48 a share right now? So we're pretty darn close to 40. Can it collapse further? Of course it can. If the economy goes into a deep recession or deflation really takes a hold, it can go lower. It can. But is the probability there? I think the probability is about where it's going to be. You know, it's getting close to where it's going to stabilize. I'm not saying it's going to go back up very fast, because I don't think it will. I think we're going to have low oil prices for a long time, which is really, for the United States, it's a good thing, because the consumers, more money in their pocket, kind of like that. Helmer Campaign, everybody. HP is the symbol. Europe announced a QE today. They're going to do a $58 billion per month QE, quantitative easing, buying government debt. But we got, and they're going to do it for a minimum of 1 year, but we got no details. We'll probably get more details. I'm curious how they're going to do it. Okay, if they're going to spend $58 billion, remember we're talking about the EU. How many countries are in the EU? Which government debt are you going to buy? Are you going to buy the Greece debt? That seems pretty darn risky. And do you think it's going to work like our QE? I can't see how it would work the same. I think it will definitely help. But when you, the devil's going to be in the details on this. How are they going to buy? What are they going to spend $58 billion on? Where is it? Are they going to, if it's all government debt, are you going to do mortgage debt too? And what are you going to do with that debt once it's on the ECB's, European Central Bank's books? But we haven't got those details. And why are they doing it? Because the EU, European Union, economy stinks. And they've really never, they're like a day late and a dollar short. They should have done this around the same time we did it for all those years that we did it. But when they started to come out of the recession, they started raising rates. Remember that? Years plus ago, they started inching up rates, and now, you know, they're, oh, gosh, we shouldn't have done that. Should have kept QE. You know, you have to look back and say, you know, whether you disagree or don't agree with our Federal Reserve, you have to say that they did a lot better than ECB, European Central Bank. Now, granted, ECB has its hands tied in many ways, politics involved, but and ours, our Federal Reserve is a little bit more free to move. But we'll see what this does, this $58 billion a month. Have you tried our free risk analysis tool? It's really easy to use. It takes about 5 minutes or less, and it gives you a great insight as to how much risk you feel comfortable taking. It'll give you a score from 0 to 99, 99 being the highest risk, 0. And then you can see how much risk you actually are taking in your portfolio. It's very instructive. Free initial risk analysis at InvestTalk. Chart. Let's get back to answering the phone. Your questions are always our number one job, whether you're a beginner or an advanced investor. It doesn't matter. We're here for you. 888-99-CHART. Chart is how you can get your question to us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Hi, I'm Donna. I'm calling from Vancouver, Washington, and I listen via podcast. My question is about investing in ETFs or mutual funds. I hear you referencing individual stocks frequently, but I don't hear comments about ETFs or mutual funds. So I'd like to know what you think. Bye-bye.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with mutual funds or ETFs. When you buy mutual funds, make sure it's no load, meaning no commissions. I don't want you to buy a loaded fund. And not back-end loaded, A shares, B shares, C, none of those shares. None of those. Don't, but there's nothing wrong with buying mutual funds because you're buying a manager. So we have a mutual fund program, and we do a lot of work buying the best funds over the long term, the best funds in the peer group that the manager works in, large cap growth, small cap value, whatever it is, the best manager in that group. Don't buy, let me do a big, don't ever do this. Don't buy last year's huge winner. In other words, last year some mutual fund outperformed by everybody. Don't buy that this year. Don't buy it. What you need is go to Morningstar, look for 3 and 4 star funds. They go up to 5 star. I shy away from 5 star because that means they've been peaking. They're doing very, very well. Now, doesn't mean you never buy them. I just like the 3 and 4 stars. I like that people are trying harder to get to be number 5. But go to Morningstar, find peer group relationships of how, you know, the manager's been doing in that peer group. Make sure the manager's been there a long time. There's absolutely nothing wrong with mutual funds. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with ETFs. I kind of like ETFs myself. We buy them in our stock management company. We buy ETFs. So, you know, we have a handful of them right now in our portfolio. Nothing wrong with them. It's great for investors who don't know how to do research on individual stocks, don't have the time, and can't build a good diversified portfolio. Well, mutual fund can do it, and the ETF can help you diversify. So, no, there's nothing wrong with those at all. Let's get back to the phone. Well, we already did that. It's time for Invest Talk Personal, everybody, about the day-to-day experience that can help have a lasting impact on you, on your financial health anyways. Saving money on interest is one of the ways you can rinse your retirement accounts. Don't pay interest. Try to not pay any interest. But, you know, we all know we're going to have a mortgage, okay? But the goal is not to have a mortgage payment in retirement for most of us. Most people should not have a mortgage payment. But if you're going to have a mortgage, try to get that interest payment down. Now, how can you do that? Well, one way is to put some money down into the house and then refinance it, right? We all know we can do that. But maybe you don't have enough equity. Well, start building up equity. If you have enough equity, you void the PMI, and the more equity in the house, the better chances you have of giving the lowest rate mortgage. Make sure you compare mortgage rates and interest rates. Go to like bankrate.com. There's different websites. Find the best mortgage rate out there. Call your current mortgage company. And don't just say, hey, I want a lower mortgage rate, because they say, well, I'm sorry, I can't help you. Say, I'm looking to refinance my house, and I want to know if you can compete. And if you can't, just tell me, and I'll be go elsewhere. You know, and maybe it might be a good idea to spruce up the house, because it's going to be appraised. If you can furnish build another room onto the house or whatever to make it appraised better and higher, the better chances of you getting a mortgage and the better chance of getting a lower mortgage. So there's some things you can do. Try to do that. Next time we'll be talking about recashing your loan and accelerating your payments. I like getting the darn mortgage paid off. And you can save money that way, lots of money over the length of the loan. And if there's a money topic you want to talk about, just contact me. Hit contact Steve at investtalk.com. Contact Steve and tell me about what you want to discuss.
You may be taking more risk than you really want to. The first step in finding out is using our risk analysis tool. It's free and it's right there on investtalk.com. Then you can see if your current retirement portfolio is really a good match.
Let's talk to Joe in San Jose. How you doing, Joe?
Oh, fine. Thanks a lot. We appreciate your program very, very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have a question about a particular stock, the symbol URI, United Rentals. It's dropped in about the last month. It's dropped approximately 25%. And I've heard various reasons or been looking up on the Internet about the drop in oil prices, and I just want to get some idea what you think, if it's going to make a comeback.
Okay, this is United Rentals. It's a $8.7 billion company, so it's not small. It's a mid-cap, a large mid-to-large cap company. It provides construction and industrial equipment rentals and sales through 832 locations in the United States and Canada. And yeah, a drop in oil prices is going to affect them simply because of the rental equipment business. You know, they're not going to rent as much to that industry. I don't know how much is exposed to that industry. In other words, how much of their sales and rentals are to the oil industry. And that's something we really need to know before we make a decision on this stock. But sales have been growing nicely, quarter after quarter after quarter.
It's been doing well for such a long time, all of a sudden, the big drop.
It went from about $119 or so, down to $82. So that's 35% or so?
Yes.
Pretty painful. Now, it's going to make $8.20 this year. That's up almost 20% from last year. Next year, 2016, it's going to make $9.67, still a big increase from the year before. So it's an $87 stock. So it's not overpriced, Joe. It's not. There's a little red flag out there, and it has lots and lots of debt. So it's probably bought a lot of expensive equipment, and the cash flow is very high, so it should be able to cover the debt. But again, what you really want to know is how much of their sales are tied to oil, because that probably is not going to recover anytime soon. That part of their business is not recovered. And I'd have to look at the financials to see that. But I think it's a good, strong company. Do you own it, Joe?
Yes, I do. And I kind of, weathered the storm here somewhat.
Yeah, well, it's up $5 today.
Yeah, I know it. It's pretty volatile at times. But
So
if the price of oil increases, like it's been edging up a bit, getting towards the $50 a barrel, well, do you think that might to be a plus for URI?
Well, it won't be. I don't know if it'll be a plus, but it won't be probably be a much less of a drag. I think.
Right on.
I really think that if, depending on how much of their rentals and sales is oil related, maybe a lot of that's already built into the price, that drag, because it's fallen so much. So going forward, it could be less of a drag if oil prices just stabilize.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know, Joe. You got to take a look and see how much of their exposure to oil. And I appreciate the call. I really do, Joe. Thank you. URI was the symbol, everybody. Now, do you think negative interest rates can happen here in the United States? What is negative interest rates? Okay, is there... In reality, there's no reason why it can't happen. Now, it's happened in where? There's several countries that it's happened in already. You know, the Swiss, Denmark, they have negative interest rates. Why would we have negative interest rates? And what is negative interest rates? Well, negative interest rates is when it's most commonly referred to, is when the banks, Federal Reserve, large banks, charge you, businesses usually, to deposit money with them. So on the Federal Reserve part, it'll charge the banks money. So if you give me $1 billion, I'm going to charge you maybe 0.25 to keep that at my bank. Instead of earning interest, you're going to be paying interest to deposit the money. That's negative interest rates. And recently, Switzerland just increased theirs. It was negative 0.25, so you put money in there, and they just raised it to 0.75. It costs you more. You're paying the Swiss to park your money there. Why would they do that? Because they don't want to have, you know, look at how strong our dollar gets. Look how strong the Swiss franc is now that they took away that tie. And therefore, people flood their money into these strong currencies because compared to their currency, it goes up in value. So they may well want to pay the negative interest rates because they're making more money on the currency translation. So can negative interest rates happen? Sure, they can happen here. What if we go into recession? How is the Federal Reserve, with interest rates so low now, how can they spur our economy by doing anything with interest rates? Well, they can make them negative. And therefore, banks will be more agreeable to lend the money out, to earn money, instead of paying money on the money they have deposited with the Federal Reserve. That could happen. What if we have deflation takes a hold? What is that? It's kind of a weird situation. But what happens if that? You think you're going to raise rates? No. Remember, cash is king in a deflationary scenario. So I don't want you to rule out that we can't have negative interest. We could. We could. I just don't know if it's very probable. It's more probable over the next few years, 5 years. The Fed has said they're going to raise rates by this year sometime. They've said that. But they've lied before, or let me say that. They've changed their minds before. But they could. They could turn around and lower rates, especially if we go into recession or deflation takes a hold. You know, there's reasons to do it. Anyways, that's negative interest rates. When the people who are depositing money are charged for depositing that money, people and entities. Instead of paying, you know, we're so used to depositing money in the bank and we get interest back. Well, doesn't have to be that way, does it? How would you like to deposit your money in the bank and they charge you for it? That's going to be weird. Our podcast listeners from all over the world download our program. If you'd like to join them, you can subscribe to for free at iTunes. If you have a question for us and you're a podcast listener, you still can call by using the same number, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Tim from Texas. I listen on podcasts. I have a question about taxes on stocks. I'm just starting trading stocks. And I think I understand the basic premise where if you hold the stock for more than a year, the gains are taxed at one rate. And if you hold it less than a year, it's taxed at a higher rate, the gains. But how are the dividends taxed? And also, am I thinking about dividends correctly when I'm thinking that if a stock pays a decent percent return dividend, that that's better than a savings account when if I just compare those two rates? But I also have to take into consideration the taxes on the dividends. So if you could explain that a little bit, I would appreciate it. Love the program. Thank you.
Okay, dividends are usually taxed at your ordinary income tax rate. So if your tax rate is 30% and you got dividends, you're going to have to pay 30% taxes on the dividends that you collected. That's the norm. Is it better? You will get higher dividends than at a bank? Yeah. If you buy high dividend paying stocks or dividend paying stocks, yeah, your rate will be better. But remember, when you buy in a stock, you add the additional risk of the stock possibly going down in value, therefore losing your value. And that's if the stock goes up, great. But when it goes down, you still get your dividend of 2 to 4 to 6%. But the value of your holding goes down. Whereas a bank, even though you get virtually no interest, 1/10, 2/10 of a percent, there's no risk of your principal. The value will not go down. So you're exchanging a risky asset or a non-risky asset for a risky asset. You're getting higher dividends, but it's a riskier asset. I hope that makes sense to you. So you got to kind of weigh it. That's why you hear me talk about risk of the whole portfolio all the time. You got to weigh the risk that you're taking. You can buy bonds, government bonds, corporate bonds, and it's not as simple as it sounds, but they pay much higher yields than a savings account or even CDs. But there's a risk there too. Depends on what kind of bonds you're taking. How long is the maturity? What's your ultimate rate, return to maturity on that bond? What is the risk of default on those bonds? Those kind of things. So, you got to kind of learn a little bit more before you, consider buying stocks that pay dividends and think that you're getting more money. Well, not if the value goes down. And the capital gains, you only have to pay capital gains when you realize the gains. That means when you actually sell the holdings and you have a capital gains. You bought it for $10 and you sold it for $20 a share. There's a $10 per share capital gains. How long did you hold it? Under a year, over a year, different rates. Under a year, it's at your ordinary income tax rate. But, of course, Obama last night talked about raising capital gains taxes, too. So be aware of that. InvestTalk is here to be a ready resource for the average investor. We welcome any money questions as we go along. Don't hesitate to ask any beginner questions as well. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and don't forget to take our risk test, to find out what kind of risk you're comfortable with. Go to investtalk.com, look for the blue box. It takes only a couple of minutes. Call if you like, 888-99-CHART.
We're happy to say that thousands click on our podcast every weekday. And because you listen regularly, we think you should have a say in the topics that we discuss. So please, if there's an aspect of investing that you'd like to hear more about, tell us first. Check into our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART. And if you'd like to send a note directly to Steve, that's easy to do. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin.
888-992-4278. Give me a call. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? Housing starts report was out this morning. It was for December. It was 1.09 million rate of housing starts. That's over a year. That's up 4.4% month over month from November to December. And this was, of course, the last report of the year. So for all of 2014, housing starts was the highest it's been in 7 years. Now, there's a little negative with that report. Permits were down. But if you read the details, permits were up in single-family homes by 4.5% and down for multiple unit homes by 12%. So it was kind of an upbeat number. It's better than a little bit better than expected housing starts. And we know that the prices have been softening over the last few months. We know that because of Case-Shiller home price surveys. So we know that. But, you know, the builders are not negative, but they have been having to offer some incentives to get people to buy those houses. Now, later on this week, we're going to have more housing numbers. You know, these are housing starts, the starting construction, people building houses, you know, builders building. Start. Now, we want to look at the housing sales and the housing prices. So we'll get more numbers later on in the week because this is going to be the housing week. Give us some reports. And I also thought I might want to mention China. Have you seen what China's doing? Have you read about iPhone sales in China? Well, I want to get to that before the end of the hour. First, let's take another question before the end of the hour. 888-989-CHART is how you reach us anytime.
Hi, Steve. Diego from Aventura, Florida. I want to ask you about SCHX. It's a Swatch U.S. large cap. What do you think is a good price for buying this ETF? Because I don't pay commission on this, and I think it's like the SPY, right? Let me know. Thanks.
Okay, this is Schwab U.S. Large Cap, okay, an exchange-traded fund. Exchange-traded fund seeking their performance corresponding to a Dow Jones Large Cap Total Stock Market Index. Okay, so that's what this does. It's an index fund. And if you are going to think, if you think the overall market's going to go up, you buy this. This will follow the market. Not the Dow 30, not the S&P 500, not the Russell 2000, but the whole market. So it would be more like the NYA index, New York Large Cap Total Stock Market Index. But notice it's large cap, so it's not small caps. So this is you would buy this if you want to buy the large companies and the index that tracks the large companies. It pays a dividend of 1.8%. It's large companies, large blue chip companies tend to pay dividends, right? So if you look at a chart of this, the stock, it looks very similar to the S&P 500 chart, looks very similar to the Dow Jones chart, okay, but not at all like the small cap index, Russell 2000. Doesn't look like that chart at all. Okay, so yeah, it's Schwab, so it's low price. And SCHX is a good index fund to buy, ETF, if you want to track the whole market. Okay. So in China, there have been reports that there's been a striking increase in the usage of iPhone 6 Plus, more so than iPhone 6. That increase has been going up too. And what it appears to be, what appears to be is that sales are increasing faster than the analysts expected for the iPhone 6. And Apple is going to release earnings on January 27th. January 27th is when their earnings come out. And all the little information we're getting, the incidental information, tells us those numbers are going to be pretty good. Now, of course, how are they going to be better than the analysts? Well, analysts have been ratcheting up their predictions. So, you know, how fast have they ratcheted up their predictions? How can Apple keep up with that? That's always hard to know. But just so you know, Apple has been on fire on sales lately. And I don't see it stopping anytime soon. Might slow down, but not stopping. Before we close for the hour, remember, you can sign up now for our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference on February 7th. It's Saturday morning, 9 to 12. If you do that before January 24th, which is 3 days from now, we'll give you a $10 discount. Just go to investtalk.com to sign up. We're going to show, remember, it's $45 without the discount, $35 per person with the discount before the 24th. And it's not just about energy companies. We'll talk about other commodity companies as well. But we're going to talk about oil. That's the main topic. You need to look more broadly at the industry, everybody. So join us on the 7th in San Jose. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and speaking for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP Financial, thank you for listening today, and let's meet up again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.